Chapter 69. Now there were two, Hale Hunsicker and Jesse. Ari drove them over to Ace's and dropped them by the front door. The noise from the upstairs lounge was a low roar.
"Just a nightcap," Hale said, as they got out of the Escalade. "Besides, you haven't been to Vineland Park until you've been to the Jungle Bar."
"Where the big cats and kittens prowl?" Hunsicker laughed, shaking his head as he did so. Vineland Park Village was more impressive at night than it had been during the daytime. Every branch of every tree was strewn with strings of light bulbs, so many that you lost sight of the individual bulbs and the trees themselves seemed to glow. The effect was enhanced by the hot breeze gently swaying the trees in the clear Texas night. Or, Jesse thought, maybe that was more a product of the beer, scotch, and descending fatigue. The dome at the top of the movie theater was lit up like a beacon. In Paradise, the only light that bright was the one on the old Quilty Lighthouse up the coast, a few miles offshore on Indian Rock. Jesse recognized the bar downstairs at Ace's from his earlier meeting with Jen. It was pretty crowded, but sedate in comparison to the scene upstairs. In some ways, the Jungle Bar was the same as any other bar of its type in Boston, L.A., or New York. It was a moneyed meat market. Jesse was impressed because of the absurdity of it. There seemed to be a dress code, though not one as simple as jacket, collared shirt, no sneakers. It appeared far more specific than that. The men's sport jackets were limited to three colors, black, gray, or camel. Cowboy boots were a must, though showy was frowned upon. White, pale blue, or gray shirts were all collared, top button open. Too much jewelry was a no-no. Wedding bands were optional, yet watches the size of Fiats were everywhere. There was an awful lot of carefully managed facial scruff, as well as salt and pepper hair worn swept back, not slick back. Bald heads and neatly trimmed beards were also acceptable. But it was the women who fascinated Jesse. It was like the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders meet the Stepford Wives, only they weren't wives, at least not most of them, not anymore. Jesse hadn't seen this many blonde heads in one place, not even in L.A., a place where sun-streaked blonde hair was everywhere. And their dress code seemed more restrictive than the men's. Tight pants, tight dresses, or tight skirts, frequently white, the operative word being tight. Heels were high, tops were silver or black, often shiny, always showing cleavage. There was more jewelry on the women, and it ranged from diamond necklaces to silver and turquoise bracelets. The makeup was all perfect, if generally too heavy to suit Jesse. There was no smoking in here, but between the spicy aftershaves, grassy colognes, and exotic perfumes, there was almost as much alcohol in the air as was in the bottles at the bar.
"Amazing, isn't it?" Hale asked.
"Uh-huh."
"It's like this from Wednesday to Sunday. What are you drinking?"
"Black Label Rocks."
With Hale waving at the barman and Jesse facing the same way, neither noticed the woman walking up behind them.
"Hey, Hale Hunsicker, don't you dare ignore me."
She had Lauren Bacall's voice with an exaggerated Texas twang. Jesse turned his head around to see a stunning black-haired woman with fire in her copper eyes. She was folding her long, sinewy arms around Hale's shoulders and chest. Her legs were long, too, and she took the definition of tight and white to new extremes. Her shiny silver blouse was opened down the front in such a way as to expose a large, tapering V of tan, lightly freckled skin stretching from her clavicle to a point beyond her cleavage. She kissed Hale's neck in a way that couldn't be mistaken for a friendly peck. He turned around, handing Jesse his drink. But as stunning as this woman was, and she was all of that, Hale seemed as pleased to have her holding him as he had been at the sight of Elroy Cates.
"Aren't you going to introduce me to your handsome friend, Hale, or are you going to get all jealous on me?" she asked, leaning into Hunsicker as if performing a vertical lap dance.
"Jesse Stone," Hale said, turning to face the bar to get his own drink and to put some space between him and the woman. Meet Cassie Cates.
Cates as in Elroy Cates? Jesse asked, shaking her hand.
A pleasure. Pleasure's all mine, honey, I can assure you.
She squeezed Jesse's hand a little too tightly.
So you met that human fireplug masquerading as my ex-husband?
Jesse nodded.
Wait just one second, Cassie said, screwing up her face. Jesse Stone. So it's your ex that's set to marry this fool?
Should have been me, you know, taking the vows. But this big coward over... Hale cut her off.
Come on, Cassie. We've been over this territory till there's ruts in the ground. There's no need to involve Jesse and Jen in our drama.
Drama? Hale Hunsicker. You weren't calling it drama when you couldn't get enough of me, now were you, honey?
She showed Jesse the back of her left hand, wriggling her naked ring finger. When I was still married.
Jesse saw that look in Hale's eyes again. This time he understood its implication and turned to see Elroy Cates, head down, charging at Hale.
Jesse stepped in front of Cassie and nudged her out of the way.
Hale slammed his drink-holding hand down on the top of Elroy Cates's hat, splashing bourbon all over Elroy's hat and clothes. Cates caromed into the base of the bar and went down to the floor.
Jesse stepped between Cates and Hunsicker, extending his hand to help Cates up. It might have ended there, or at least not escalated, if Cates's friend hadn't decided to appear out of the crowd. He was bigger than Hunsicker and a few years his junior. He rammed his shoulder into Hale's midsection. He caught Hale in just the wrong spot, and the air went out of him with an audible oomph.
Hale doubled over, and the big man landed a short, chopping right to Hunsicker's jaw.
Hale went down. Jesse threw the point of his elbow into the big man's ribs to get his attention, then kicked the back of his right knee and sent him sprawling. By this time, Elroy Cates had scrambled to his feet and caught Jesse in the belly with a straight right. It was quite a punch for a toad. Reflexively, Jesse's right arm shot out and the back of his hand caught Cates in the mouth. Jesse felt Cates's lips split open and felt the scrape of his teeth rip the skin of his hand. Now Hunsicker was up and grabbing his attacker by the back of his hair. He slammed Cates's friend face first into the bar rail. Everything paused for a second after the sickening, dull cracking sound the big man's nose made against the rail. There was blood everywhere as Hunsicker let go of the big man's hair. He slumped to the floor, choking on his blood and mucus. That's when Jesse became conscious of the sirens. He was about to pull out his shield when Hunsicker turned his attention to Cates. Hale had Elroy by the throat, hoisting him off the ground. That was trouble. The kind that led to crushed windpipes and manslaughter charges. Jesse had to do something, and fast. No one in the crowd seemed willing to join the fray, and asking Hale to kindly put Cates down, or demanding it, didn't seem like viable options. He tried anyway, to no avail. He grabbed Hale's arms, same lack of results. Jesse threw a punch at Hale's solar plexus, but because of the angle, he missed, and it glanced harmlessly off his ribs. Hunsicker swung Cates around so that Cates was now between him and Jesse. Jesse slid the 9mm out of its holster and racked the slide. That sound alone was usually enough to stop people from doing what they were doing. It doesn't do any good if no one can hear it. So Jesse stepped around Cates and stuck the barrel of the gun to the side of Hale's neck. Let him go, Hale, now.
As Cates hit the floor, half the Vineland Park PD came charging up the stairs and into the jungle bar.